In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read about a newspaper in a small southern town that would only run ads for local church services if the pastor included the title for his sermon that coming Sunday. One pastor in particular was really good at this, and his title for our passage from the gospel this morning was, "Things I Wish Jesus Had Never Said." What a mashup. You know you shouldn't murder people, but I say anger, insult, and name-calling are just as bad. So be reconciled to your enemies. You know you shouldn't commit adultery, but I say you've already done it if you look at a woman with lust. It would be better for you to cut it out, not literally, but figuratively. And I know Moses let you men divorce your wives because of the hardness of your hearts, but I say you cause her to commit adultery when you divorce her. And you know it's wrong to swear you're going to do something and then not do it, so I say don't swear at all. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. To be fair, Jesus was just being a good rabbi, reinterpreting Torah for his followers in the light of the new reality of the inbreaking kingdom of God. But did he really expect his followers would be able to avoid these behaviors? Jesus sets the bar impossibly high. Even as he digs under the letter of the law to get to the spirit, the intention, the why undergirding the rules, and the why is relationship. Jesus digs deep to get at both the difficulty and the importance of being genuine and transparent in God's new community. Anger, lust, lying, adultery, all in their way shred relationships. These behaviors destroy trust, foster suspicion, and destabilize communities, whether it's your nuclear family, your church family, or simply the human family. How we behave towards others matters. We are fortunate to live in a time and culture that supports people in getting the help they need. And Jesus himself provides a pastoral strategy for dealing with anger and broken relationships. He says, before you offer your gift at the altar, go to your brother or sister and be reconciled. In the Episcopal Church, we pass the peace, offering God's peace to our neighbors. But in some small Baptist churches in Appalachia, there is a tradition called Flower Sunday, where Jesus' recommendation is taken literally. It happens once a year during Sunday morning worship. At the beginning of the flower service, everyone brings a bouquet of flowers and places them on a table in front of the pulpit. And these are not store-bought flowers, but handfuls of wild flowers gathered from back gardens and grassy verges. Then the preacher preaches a sermon on Matthew 5, 23 to 24, and the need for harmony and grace and peace in the congregation. Afterwards, an amazing passing of the peace takes place as everyone in the congregation comes to the table and retrieves their bouquet and then begins to go to every other person in the church to apologize for any hurt feelings or harsh words or misunderstandings, old and young. Everyone talks to everyone else, not caring how long it takes. Afterwards, people exchanged flowers, sealing the restoration of their relationship. And now we're going to do that. No, just, just kidding. It seems to me that Jesus has a twofold purpose in this discourse. On the one hand, he wants us to understand that our treatment of others is at the heart of how God will judge us. And this is a sobering thought. On the other hand, he knows full well that we can't get through this mortal life without damaging relationships. And so I think his other purpose is to bring us to our knees, to help us to understand just how badly we need his help, his mercy, and his grace. When I was in seminary, I took a class on the Book of Common Prayer taught by Paul Marshall, who later became the bishop of the Diocese of Bethlehem in Pennsylvania. The day we were discussing the rite of reconciliation, he shared a personal story with us, probably to drive home to all us young, aspiring priests, that there really would be people in our congregation who could benefit from making a private confession. He explained that for 20 years, he'd been a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, but that when he and his wife divorced, he was barred from serving in that denomination. After some time, he planned to marry again, and he wanted to do it in a church. So he and his fiancée began to visit various denominations. They even counseled with two different ministers, but Marshall still didn't feel able to move ahead. One day, they made an appointment with an Episcopal priest. And to Marshall's surprise and relief, the priest said, no matter how justified his divorce had been, it was still a sin. And he suggested Marshall make a formal confession, using the rite in the prayer book. I don't remember why this surprised Marshall. Perhaps the other ministers had tiptoed around the subject of his divorce, understanding that it had indeed been the best option for the couple. Marshall said it was a great relief to him because he finally understood what he needed to do in order to move ahead. He needed to make his confession and receive absolution in a formal setting. He needed the grace and mercy of God mediated to him through another person, someone who spoke to him on God's behalf. Now, not everyone needs to make a formal confession. There is a lovely saying about this in the Episcopal Church. It goes like this: all may, none must, some should. Those who should are those who feel unforgiven or who feel unable to offer forgiveness to someone else. Lent is the customary season for making confessions. Just for your information. Jesus calls us to dig deep, to acknowledge and deal with the sins that separate us from one another. It takes great courage to admit our weakness and our need for help. And so we pray. Oh God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you, both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.